Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our faithful and holy God and Father in heaven, we come before thee in thankfulness that thou hast assembled us safely into this house of thy house of prayer, and that we can open thy precious and living word. Teach us the way of faith and guide us into thy truth, that we might love thee and serve thee with all of our hearts, as thou dost desire for us to do. We are mindful, O Lord, of the reminders that thou hast given us in these days of the fragile nature of these physical bodies, and we would want to pray for those who are sick and those who are grieving loss of loved ones, those who are elderly and who cannot gather with us. Lord, we pray that thou would provide for their needs. Comfort them as thou canst do. Feed us from thy living word, and be present with us through thy Holy Spirit. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help for our reading this evening, desire that we would turn and read together from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and read beginning with verse 36 to the end. Luke, chapter 7, beginning with verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The account of Jesus' time in the Pharisee's house and the woman who came truly gives us much to reflect upon and consider for our hearts. We see the great love that was on display from this woman and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we take time to meditate upon it, may the Lord in his way speak to our hearts, even as he does so directly speak to Simon and to this woman. He has a message for them, and he says to Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. The Lord has something to say to me and to you. And it is a humbling thing for ourselves. But it is a good thing to see what it is to understand and to appreciate the forgiveness of God and to see his love upon display and to respond to it. Because when we appreciate all that Jesus Christ has done for us, then we can fulfill what Jesus desires for us to do, which is, namely, to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, our mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And this woman puts that love on display, completely unashamed and unreserved. Simon, however, he doesn't seem to understand and to grasp who he's sitting next to, who he invited into his home. He doesn't seem to care so much about Jesus, and it shows. And that's a pretty scary sort of thought. That our hearts can be known by the fruits that our lives bear. The Pharisee invited Jesus to his house, and Jesus went, as he had to many other places, to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, to the house of Matthew, the tax collector, where publicans and sinners were gathered, and also to this Pharisee's home. Every single home he is willing to go when he is invited and the door is open. And that goes for our hearts and our homes as well. He's willing to come. And when he comes, he will observe, and you have something to speak to us, something out of his great love. He loved this woman, and he also loved Simon. And he had something specific to say to her, and he had something to specific to say to him. They were very different messages because their hearts were very different. But it was just what they needed. And that is what the love of Christ is to us. It's just what we need. It is exactly fitting to our heart's condition and where we need to go, how we need to change, what we need to believe and be persuaded of and assured of. The Pharisee brought Jesus in and set him down to eat. Perhaps they were talking. And we see later in the story that he forgot. He forgot to provide water for washing Jesus' feet. He gave him no kiss, didn't anoint his head with oil. You know, as the brother mentioned in the prayer, the things that would be customary and and courteous. You seem to overlook them. This woman came in, though, and she could not take her eyes off of Jesus. She was completely focused upon him. Everything that she did, while from the moment she even heard that Jesus was in that home, was thinking about everything to him. She walked to him. She stood behind him. She wept behind him. She washed his feet, wiped the feet with the hairs of her head, those feet that were not washed with water, that were still dusty from the roads. And she did not mind. She broke the alabaster box of ointment and anointed his feet with the ointment, as close as she could get. Whatever she could do, whatever expense could be laid at his feet, it was not too much. What love. What love, willing to be perhaps looked upon as strange, willing to sacrifice and give what she had. It's an amazing example of love and an amazing testimony to me and to you and to all of us of the sort of love that Jesus is worthy of, that we would not be reserved, that we would not hold back, but that we would come close to him, that we would draw near to him with our hearts, with our tears even, bring him the praise that he is worthy of. And yet, there's the example of the Pharisee again. You know, the Pharisees were so particular about their washings, weren't they? It doesn't seem like he even remembered that. What was he so busy with? What was he so preoccupied with that he forgot all of these courtesies and all of these opportunities to express love? I don't know. Doesn't say. But it makes me pause and ask myself that question. The brother mentioned it in the prayer. What Jesus will be looking for as he gathers the nations of the world before his throne. And many people will ask, why was I so busy? When he speaks these words, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from his goats, divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This woman had a very precious opportunity to lavish love and attention and affection upon our Lord while he ministered here upon this earth. And Jesus knows that he is not with us in his physical body, and yet he provides us opportunity to do service unto him. And the way that he describes it is, when we would do these things unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now this is the what, but the how is demonstrated in the woman's love and focus and faith without reservation, without concern for the cost. Do it unto the least of these, my brethren. To lavish our love upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by hearing his word, knowing what he expects and obeying his command. How busy he was with something, but it was empty. And everything about this Pharisee is empty. You can see that when the Pharisee sees this woman, doubts arise in his mind about who Jesus is. He says, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner this woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. He's doubting that Jesus is even a prophet. Jesus is just some man. And we know that that thought is the thought of someone who is far from even the first step of faith, very far from the kingdom of God and far from salvation, to think that Jesus is just another man. We see the depth of the emptiness. Complete lack of faith. And the facade of his title, the Pharisee, completely comes unraveled and undone. Because he doesn't believe that Jesus sees properly. He doesn't have proper vision. He can't discern. Well, Jesus has something to say to Simon to show how well he can discern. And he gives the two verses of account of a creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. Neither one of them had anything to pay. And he forgave them both. And Simon was given the question, which one will love him most? Simon says, I suppose. Though he knew quite certainly that he who forgave him most, who was forgiven most, would love the most. Thou hast rightly judged. Simon, you're able to judge very well. Congratulations. But he's still left empty. But it's the word of Jesus Christ. It's a word of love that reveals to him his heart and gives him an opportunity to make a decision. Just like each and every one of us have, day by day, to serve him exactly the way that he has commanded his disciples to do. We each have a decision to make. Will I go down the path of Simon? Or will I go down the path of this woman? Of love for my Lord, demonstrating it without any reservation, and drawing close to him with all my heart. How refreshing and how needful it is for us who, I can just say for me, often concerned about the future, wondering how will things work out, who will fix this problem, who will fix that one. And the Lord opens up a scripture like this and reminds me, you know what you need to be doing. There's no question. You leave everything else to me. Love the Lord. And here's how. What a precious gift she is given in the forgiveness of her sins. Far be it from empty. She who was hungry and thirsting is now filled. As Jesus tells them what has happened to her, that her sins have been forgiven. There is no greater content than that. To be freed. And it is only through Jesus Christ and his compassion and pity that he shows to us who are in such great need and have nothing to pay that he offers this. And it seems by how Jesus describes this that the love and the forgiveness and the faith, I don't think we need to try to read each and every word to figure out, well, what's the order? How does it all work? They all work together. And that is a reflection to my heart that asks me, well, what is missing? If there's some faith missing, if there's some love missing, if there's some understanding or appreciation of forgiveness missing, it's all revealed. I don't need to try to sequence it in a particular way. And if it's missing, then I truly am empty, just like Simon. Some asked mockingly, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" We can ask it in a more inquisitive way. Who is this that forgives sins? It is Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the only one who has taken our sin upon him upon the cross and offers us hope for life eternal and can say, go in peace, can reassure us when we come and express that love and feel him, his words speaking to our hearts, that we can go and truly be at peace in this world that is full of confusion, noise, and disturbance. As my hope and prayer that as we see Jesus Christ and as he sees us with perfect vision, as his word discerns to the thoughts and intents of our heart, that we would seek his peace, that we would know that it's found in faith and trust and believing that he truly is the anointed one, the prophet that was to come, that fulfilled all the words of the Old Testament, and embrace and be convinced that he provides all that we are needing, and to love him without any reservation, that he would fill us with himself, with his Holy Spirit, to guide us, and with his precious, precious peace. May God bless his word. Amen.